Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and this is the day when we are going to get you revved up and ready to go about your life, about your plans, about your dreams, about your desires. We are going to be talking about how you can hit your stride, your work, your way. My guest is Nan Russell. Nan, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Donna. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you have got quite a good background behind you. You've been for more than 20 years in management. You started out, like so many of us do, minimum wage positioning, and you ended up being vice president of $4.4 billion. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's a capital B, billion-dollar QVC. You have e-columns, Winning at Working, and in the scheme of things, you have got more than 80 websites that carry what you write, and you have already retired at a younger age, and you're living your dream, because one of your dreams was to write. Nan, you have a quote right at the beginning of your book by Albert Schweitzer, who is one of my favorite people, period. He said, "Sometimes our light goes out, but is blown into flame by another human being. Each of us owes deepest thanks to those who have rekindled this light." That, I think, is just such profound wisdom, because just about everybody I know that's really successful has had their darker moments. Here you are. You might be called a fat cat. You're able to do what you want to do. Why is it important for you to share your insights with other people? I mean, you don't have to do this. This obviously isn't for the money.
Well, you know, I guess in terms of what you're saying about I don't have to do it, I do have to do it. There is something about the kinds of people who have helped me along my way, and I think that the Schweitzer quote is so perfect for that. That you want to give back. I mean, I've been very blessed in terms of the things that have happened to me in my life, and at some point you want to say, you know what, maybe some of these things will be helpful to other people. And if they're not, you can throw them away, but let me share some of the things that I learned the hard way.
You say hitting your stride is not about a career. It's about life. Why?
Because in my mind, your work is really about becoming who you are. And I mean that in the very deepest sense of the word. And it took me a lot of years to recognize that that's really what my work was about. And that when you start to offer your uniqueness and your special gifts to the world, then your work kind of finds you. And that's really what I think it's about. So it's not just about a career or climbing some corporate ladder. It's not any of those things. It's really about bringing your uniqueness to the world, because the world needs it.
Now, let's talk about you for a moment. You graduated, you had an undergraduate degree from Stanford University and a master's degree from the University of Michigan. And then after you give that wonderful information, you say, "I was fired from my first professional job." So here we have this wonderful, wonderful capacity, degrees. You've done everything according to the book. You get fired.
I did. That was such a wake-up call for me, because I was pretty cocky when I got out of school, and I really thought that the world was ready for me. And what I realized was I wasn't really ready for the world. And I really made a lot of mistakes, and the biggest mistake that I made, and I deserved to be fired, was I accepted a job to basically do something that I was really not equipped to do, which had to do with cold calling and sales and things that were really not my skill set, and I believed I could do them, and I couldn't. It wasn't me.
Now, you then decided you were going to take an interim position. You were going to take the minimum wage position, because you, fortunately, had the wherewithal to understand. You got to start somewhere, and you obviously didn't have any working experience, and friends told you not to do this, didn't they?
Oh, totally. And my parents thought I was nuts. But, you know, I had to pay the rent, and so I decided that I would find a job that would pay me enough money that I could pay the rent, and so that's what I did. And it's one of the best things that I ever did, because I think I learned how to really kind of create my own luck and figure out some of the things that matter in work. So it was a good move for me.
All right. Now, we're going to talk about luck. This is a four-letter word that most people associate with a lottery or gambling table. And that's not where we're going. That's not what we're doing. What we're talking about is how, instead of wishing for something to happen, things are going to happen. And you made a comment in your book that in all of your years of managing others, you found most people decrease, not increase, their luck factor. Okay, educate us, man.
Well, what I really found, managing hundreds of people over the course of my career, is that people get these concepts of luck and chance really confused. And they really think that they don't have anything to do with it. So, for example, my husband is an avid runner, and he really has a health luck factor because he runs. He's able to really improve his health and his well-being. People don't translate that to work. They think that things randomly happen, in contrast to the fact that they actually have control over creating who notices them, what their performance is like, what kinds of opportunities come their way by doing what I call uncommon practices. And most people, it's not that they're not trying really hard. Well, they are. They want to do a good job. But they just don't realize that they're not doing the kinds of things that create that luck at work.
You talk about an ideologue.
Tell us
what that means to you and why that is something that's valuable for someone that's really wanting to make their world work.
Well, you know, it's funny about that, because it's one of those things I think that we all talk about. You know, we walk by something and we go, whoa, I had that idea. I thought about that in the shower 5 years ago. Look at this. Or we read something in the paper and it really ignites us, or we see something at work and we go, oh, I could do something with that. And what I found is just, it's a very simple little discipline, is I just log those things down. Any little snippet, anything that happens, you know, it's a little file on my PC, but you could do it anywhere. And when you have an opportunity, and there are times, all the time, to gather those things at work, like an idea that would make something better, or maybe a concept that you see that's kind of falling through the cracks, and you can pull those ideas out and start to show real performance initiative by weaving some of those ideas together, by suggesting them, to be a person who really is taking the initiative to create those ideas.
Now, you make the statement that everything we do creates a brand. That's the way we dress, the way we present ourselves, the materials we use. We make a statement about ourselves frequently. I loved the commercial. It was for dandruff shampoo, but I loved it anyway. The young lady talking to her boyfriend, you never have a second chance to make a first impression.
Right.
I just loved that commercial. And I loved it because that's so true. You never know when what you're saying, what you're doing, what you're presenting. It's always that state of preparedness. Who's going to be talking to you? Do you have that business card? Do you have that, gee, let me give you this. You know, are you ready? Are you excited about who you are? Are you willing to talk about yourself? That's sometimes a very, very tough bridge to cross.
It is, and, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, we all have this sort of brand about us, and you know, just look in any kind of meeting or see people kind of roll their eyes when somebody says somebody's name who's not there that doesn't have a positive brand. And that ability to have your name associated with certain attributes, certain unique benefits, at work is what will allow people to think about you and bring you into that team or that opportunity that maybe you didn't even know would be a good thing for you. But people see that you are really starting to be a person who can deliver, who builds what I consider to be performance trust. And it's like brand trust, you know. We expect the brands that we buy to have consistency, to basically be about what their brand promise is. And people are like that, too. We expect people to have that consistent nature about who they are.
I want to share with my audience one item that you've got in here by Carl Holmes that I thought was very poignant. It's titled, And Then Some. These three little words are the secret to success. They are the difference between average people and top people in most companies. The top people always do what is expected, and then some. They are thoughtful of others, they're considerate and kind, and then some. They meet their obligations and responsibilities fairly and squarely, and then some. They are good friends and helpful neighbors, and then some. And they can be counted on in an emergency, and then some. I am thankful to people like this, where they make the world more livable. Their spirit of service is summed up in these little words, and then some. That's quite a significant statement. You have a number of items. You talk about the and then some, taking your words seriously, take it or leave it, but get it. Little things, a dose of the D's, ego detached, your ROI, a bit of Pollyanna. Now, these are items that you feel really build what you call the brand about yourself, which we've just been discussing. And you mentioned content is king on the internet and television. Competence is king in the workplace. Let's go into that a little bit.
Sure. You know, I think a lot of times we forget the fact why we're at work. And that, yes, we get a paycheck, and, yes, we need to deliver certain kinds of behaviors, certain kinds of tasks, or we wouldn't be hired to do them. But the people who really get ahead are the people who have that sense of competence. And the issues that you just mentioned in terms of the way to build your brand or to create your own luck at work are really kind of very very simple changes that people can make. It's like that poem from Carl Holmes, the concept behind and then some, or the concept about taking your words seriously. You know, if I tell you that I'm going to get you something by Monday, but what I really meant was around Monday, then when I send it to you on Tuesday, I'm losing some credibility with you, and yet I control your expectations.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely true. You have ROI strategies. What are those?
Well, there's a lot of things that we can do in terms of our own return on investment, where we put our time, where we put our effort in terms of the results that we get at work. And one of my favorite ones actually has to do with this whole sense of the fact that we need to prioritize people over tasks. And the reason I say that is because the people who are most important to you in your life, your family, your boss who creates well-being in terms of your paycheck, if you respond to those people, you get a higher return. These are the people who will help pull you through when you have a problem, your staff, individuals, relationships. And oftentimes we make the mistake unintentionally of we prioritize tasks instead of people. So you're better off getting back to your boss or your husband within the next 10 minutes in terms of a long-term strategy than you are to just kind of push it aside and say that doesn't matter. You're going to get a better return on investment of time.
You talk about working smart and fast. And gee whiz, it seems like today everything is push, push, push,
oh,
push.
Oh, isn't it? I know.
So how could we work any smarter and any faster?
Well, you know, sometimes we are not really increasing our skills as we go. And so, therefore, if we start to set things up in terms of the way in which tasks are ahead of time, if we're not good with the computer, but we use the computer all the time, well, then we need to go enhance that skill so we can be faster at it. If we have poor systems of organization and we're hunting for things all the time, we need to create some systems that help us work faster so that we can really increase the kind of smart work that we do overall. So a lot of it is both organization, but also skill development along the way.
Now, I can plead guilty to being someone that I get so involved sometimes in little things, especially like with emails. And I get on there, and before I know it, it's 2 hours have passed, and I go, oh, good grief, I needed to do this, I needed to do that, I needed to do the other. You talk about making progress over being busy, and I'd like you to touch on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that, because that was the way my day was today. I was doing all sorts of busy tasks because I was putting off. I have a huge proposal that's due tomorrow, and I haven't started it. Because I just, you know, it was one of those things where today I didn't follow my own advice. I should have done that first, which would have taken a couple of hours this morning, and then gone to the answering the emails, the other kinds of things that were sort of pending, but I wasn't in the mood. And what I would suggest for most people most of the time, and sometimes we have days like I did today, is you're better off if you take a chunk of time and you set it aside and you do those important things and you get them out of the way, because we can all find the busyness that lets us feel like we did work but didn't move us forward in terms of our careers, our responsibilities, our projects, whatever's on our plate.
So frequently it is a good idea to delegate to others, but if you're going to have someone working in your office, you must train them. They must be trained. But what if you're a person that finds they're very disorganized and really they need someone that's like a gal or a guy Friday that has those organizational skills, that they'll say, look, this is what I have. It needs to be organized. If that's what you're good at, go for it. I mean, how does someone learn how to make it okay to delegate?
Well, I think that has to do with sort of a deeper issue sometimes in the way we approach what we do. And it has to do with this concept of trust. And trust is really something that I do talk about in the book, but I also I feel very strongly about in terms of relationships in life, because I, so much of my life, got it backwards, and I thought people had to be trustworthy. I had to be trustworthy first. But trust and really delegation that goes along with it is all about giving trust to people, and you start trust by giving it, but it's not a light switch, it's a dimmer switch, and therefore you give it a little bit at a time, and delegation should be done that way, a little bit at a time. So you're giving a project and you're saying, hey, check back with me and let's talk about how you did, and then after they do a good job, you give them the next step, and pretty soon, after a short period of time, they're going to do it probably better than you.
And that's what you want.
Exactly.
You want someone that is just so good that you look at them and say, I'm sorry, but I can't function without you.
I know. Thank you so much for being here. Yes.
Yeah, you can't die. It's not allowed. I go first before you.
Yes, yes.
And you're in the will. Anyway, one of the things, too, and for those of you that are just tuning in, hitting your stride, your work, your way. Nan Russell is my guest today. Nan, you addressed something that it took me years to get to, and it is having the courage to ask for help. Holy Joseph, I don't know how many people listening to this show maybe have been taught, like I was, you never ask for assistance. That's a sign of weakness, and you do it yourself. By God, if you've got the idea, you go out there, and it's your guts, and it's your blood, and your sweat, and your tears, and whatever else may go along with it. Asking is a good thing to do.
It is a good thing to do, and I, like you, took a lot of years to learn that because I thought it was a sign of weakness. And then when I started to manage large groups of people, I realized what a sign of strength it was when people could come and say, you know, here's some of the issues I have. I don't really understand this direction, or I need some additional help to meet the deadline, or, you know, there's a lot of issues going on here about this particular project, and I don't really know where to go. Any of those kinds of things that sort of fall in that domain of having the courage to ask, we think is a weakness. And yet it's viewed very differently in the workplace. It's viewed as a strength. When people have that, now, not if, let me just put a little asterisk, not if you're not out there trying to figure it out yourself and doing what you need to and you're just asking because it's easier. I'm talking about asking after you've really, you know, analyzed things, looked at them, learned, and now you're really going to look for help and additional input, because that helps That helps your boss, that helps the team, that helps the end result of the project.
It's interesting how many people on all levels of business do not have an understanding of this and how tough it is to get there, because it has, I don't know why, been associated so much with ego, and you have to be stupid if you ask for help. Well, my goodness, you're stupid if you don't. I can't tell you how much time, effort, and energy I have would have saved if I had gone to sometimes someone that was the best in the business and said, excuse me, can I have 5 minutes of your time?
Exactly.
And ask. I have found in my positioning, in working with the many, many, many people I have over the years, it's never bothered me if somebody's asked me a question. And I found every successful person is more than happy to share what they know, mainly because they know most people aren't going to listen to it anyway, but because they know that if it saves somebody else a lot of heartache and hardship, it's really good to be able to do that.
It is. And I think when people really have that philosophy about, you know, helping other people out with those kinds of questions, it becomes a way of life that exists in that particular environment. And that's a plus for everybody, because you can save people time, you can help them learn from your mistakes, and you really don't want someone coming to you when it's too late or they've already invested so much time that you really can't correct something because they didn't bother to ask.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You talk about seeing the elephant.
Yes.
And you know, so many of us have heard the story about the elephant, and it's been told in so many different formats. But each and every person that looked at the elephant blind were perceiving different things. And seeing the elephant is so important. And you go into this in depth. You talk about defining your purpose, changing your language, aligning your actions. You have some great, great illustrations here. You also talk about choice. Address that.
Well, the whole issue about seeing the elephant is what you're saying in terms of we do have limited perspectives based on what it is that we do. And at the point where we recognize that we have the ability to see the elephant and learn to kind of grow new eyes and really start to look at the big picture about that, it changes the way in which we see the world, and it changes the way in which the world grows. And that's partly about what the choice is. And the choice is that I can either stay kind of in my own role and on a small team, or I can grow eyes and see the elephant in a big perspective on a bigger team. And that big perspective of choice has to do with community, has to do with world. It has to do with the way in which, you know, we basically actively look to grow our perspective so that it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the decisions that we make, the actions we take, we start to see the impact that they have and how intertwined we all are really in the world. And so that's really what the choice part is about.
You give a quote by Oprah Winfrey, who is quite a gal, and this is how it reads: the secret to being successful is to find a way to bring yourself through, even in your stories. People are looking for the essence of your truth. When you can bring your own truth to it, that's when it works. Telling stories like you have done throughout your book and your own personal story, as well as other people's stories, has made, I think, your book, Hitting Your Stride, a very, very useful book. It is one that if someone reads it once, they'll probably, if they're like me, they use a highlighter, they're going to go through this, they're going to mark it all up, and then going back through a second time and maybe using tabs to say, this one is most important to me today. It's all about us, isn't it? It's we have to acknowledge this is our life. What made the biggest change when you got that aha? How did that change your life?
It was funny because in a lot of respects, my life early on was all about this concept, which I call WIN, which is really you're very self-absorbed in achievement and doing what you think is, you know, going to be good for you. And what really happened in terms of the storytelling and the it's all about you and this whole sense about what I call winning is that it's about so much, something so much bigger than that, because it has to do with really recognizing that this is really the way in which you live your life, and the way that as you get older you look back and say, for me anyway, gee, I wish I would have been me. And I realized that the stories and the things that I had done early on were really about following someone else's parameters, models, and that at the point where I started to let those stories go and allow kind of my authentic self, as it were, to come through, you start to live in a different way. And that's part of what the storytelling is about, because we do tell ourselves stories about ourselves. And at the point where I recognized that, you know what, I'm the one with the pen here. I don't have to think of myself as shy and quiet anymore. I don't have to think of myself as, you know, whatever I wanted to anymore. I can create whatever I want, because that's what storytelling is about. We create kind of what we want for our life. And so it changed not only the way in which I approached work, but it also changed the way in which I showed up for work.
And that's very important, because when you don't have the mindset, when you feel like one of the women you mentioned in your book, she said, well, she was going to stay with her job because she had seniority, she had vacation time coming, she didn't want to give it up, and she stayed in a miserable environment, for 20-plus years, I would imagine. Her kids grew, she had grandkids, and she didn't listen to what Catherine Hepburn called the music of the soul. And I think that many times that's what a lot of people do, and then they wonder why they feel so out of place with themselves, why they're, I'll call them the whiners and the other people that you mentioned in life. They can always tell you why everything is so wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets real old real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Because somewhere along the line, we have to take the positioning of being responsible for ourselves. And I'm turning right now to the page where you have the wine factor, the drainers and the boosters, the touchstones and pond size. These are all different personality types. And discriminating who we're going to keep company with does make a difference, too.
It definitely does. And, you know, it kind of pulls us down. I mean, I think, you know, when you're around whiners or these people who drain your energy, when you have the people who tell the victim stories again and again and again, it pulls you kind of into their energy. It does cause you, I think, in terms of to look at the world in a different way. And I found that, you know, the whine factor, spelled with the H, is one of those things that you can kind of assess for yourself. Like, I know when I can hear myself whining, like, I know, okay, it's time for me to kind of look in the mirror and say, hey, wait a minute, what can you do to really take charge of the way in which you want your life to go? So it's not just other people. We have those elements within ourselves, too, I think.
Oh, of course. And often it's said when you point a finger at somebody else, there's four pointing back at you.
Yeah.
So I think we have to have integrity with that. Nan, your book, Hitting Your Stride, is outstanding. You give a lot of good information in here, a lot of the stories that convey information. But more than anything else, I think it's very practical. You walk the walk. You are independently, financially successful. You are doing what you love to do now on a big scale because you're writing. Your website is nanrussell.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
NanRussell.com. That's NanRussell. This is a lady who is doing what she wants to do, doing what she loves to do. You may not want to be a writer, but I'll tell you what. When you can feed your mind, you feed your soul. And nothing is impossible, and you may find your dream fulfilled in a unique way. This is a good tool book to use. Put it in your toolbox for your own life. I think you'll be glad you made the investment. Nan, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Oh, Donna, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much. It was really great.
This is Donna Sebo. We're getting ready to take a break. Don't you go anywhere right now because we've got more good things to share. We're coming right back.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. I want to let you know telephone lines are now open, so you can give me a buzz. If you would like to chat, I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here's what you do. The telephone number to call for the U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. So that's 530-876-3222. Well, I've got a one-day countdown. Yes, yes, tomorrow's the Women's Show here in the Pacific Northwest, and I've been participating in this event, as you've heard me say, for, well, quite a few years now, and it is just absolutely exciting because you have all kinds of businesses, different persons that have services, products. You have people giving seminars. I'm going to be speaking each day. You have all of this activity going on, and it is time, ladies, to play. So for those of you that are living in the Pacific Northwest, don't miss this awesome event. It's in Seattle, Washington, and it is going to be tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, and the hours are from 10 to 6. It is at Quest Field Convention Center, right across from Safeco Field, the big ballpark. Well, we are just going to have a fabulous time. Now, I'm going to be in booth number 406. I have got buku books that I pulled out of my library that's going to be available for you if you'd like to have some of them, and also I'm going to be doing many consultations, and I will be speaking each day. And I will have a time schedule. You'll need to check the calendar and information that's all there. But stop by booth number 406. You can't miss it. It's got a bright yellow sign with red lettering saying The Donna Sebo Show, bbsradio.com. So just come on in and say hello. And I'll even have some chocolate there for you if you want to have a piece. So it's going to be a perfect event. It's exciting. Teresa Tapp is going to be doing some presentations there. She's got all kinds of good stuff that she's going to be sharing with those that will attend her presentations. And believe me, you'll get enough of a workout when you watch this gal. It's no wonder she's got such a gorgeous figure. Anyway, the Pacific Northwest Women's Show, go to their website, northwestwomenshow.com. That's right, northwestwomenshow.com. Come on down. Carpool in with your girlfriends. It's time to have a blast. It is absolutely a wonderful happening. Okay, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. If you're a new listener to the Donna Sebo Show, just know all you have to do when you call in is give me your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know where you're calling from. And then after that, let me do my thing. I'm an information resource, and I'll give you my perceptions as I perceive them. And then after that, you can ask me a question about anything at all that you might be interested in. I got some information that I wanted to share with you. I don't know if any of you are aware of people that have lung problems. I have had some clients over the years and other individuals that I have known that have ended up being on breathing apparatus. I have some friends that have some emphysema. They're people in their 70s and their 80s, and because of something they did, maybe they were heavy smokers, and maybe they weren't heavy smokers. It's just something their body chemistry did that caused them to have this very, very difficult disease. They have to walk around with an oxygen tank, which they're very grateful to have, because most of them wouldn't be able to live without that oxygen tank, because it'd be impossible for them to get enough of what they need to breathe. Well, there is something wonderful. Anne de Cesar went and put together some information about an artificial lung. And I wanted to share this with you because I think it's important. If we don't know about what is possible or what someone has come up with, then we don't realize what possibilities are. So if you know of anyone that may have a need for an artificial lung, this is something they should be alert to. It is not available at this time, but this new device, they anticipate, is going to offer hope to patients that may need a lung transplant. Now, Robert Bartlett, a physician, a University of Michigan professor emeritus of surgery, and his team have developed the BioLung. Now, this is an artificial lung that works with the heart's own pumping action to manage oxygen and blood flow throughout the body. Now, what makes this device so very unique is that it uses the heart rather than mechanics to pump blood. And I've got a picture of this in front of me. This means the patient can stay active at home instead of being sedated and hooked up to a machine in the hospital, and the device can even remain in place following a transplant until the donor's lungs are fully operational. Now, they are hoping to have this available or something that will be like it in 5 years. With the rate the technology is being developed, it is very possible it might be out sooner than that. But again, they have to go through testing and make sure it works. But once something like this comes into place, it's amazing the resourcefulness of people and how they can make things work more effectively and efficiently. By the way, I had a conversation with someone today, and I'm just giving you this information to make you alert. You've all heard on the news about the superbug that's going around, and it's a type of staph, and there is a description of it, and there's also a term for it, and I don't have the term in front of me, but it's like a mile and a half long. This is something that's not a joke. I had a meeting with an individual this afternoon, and they had a bandage over their nose. And a few days ago, I had seen a little tiny round bandage on their nose. And I thought, oh, well, they must have just had a pimple. Well, today there was a very large bandage on the nose. So I asked this individual, I said, what in the world has happened to your nose? Good question to ask, and I'm glad I asked. This woman told me that she had had a small break and a sore in her nose because she had gone through weeks of dealing with the flu. She had gotten the flu, she'd get over it, and then she'd be exposed to it again, and she'd get it again. This is a person that's very public in their activity. So she said, my nose was just really raw, and I got this sore on my nose. Well, then all of a sudden I started having some major problems with it, and I go in to see my doctor. My doctor takes a swab and says, you have this superbug that there has been all this conversation about in the media, and there's nothing we can do for you. Now, what she told me is that in a hospital that is just very close to where she is located, she found out that they are dealing with this issue big time. This is not a joke. This is something that's very, very real. The hospitals are dealing with this big time. Part of it has to deal with sanitation, but we don't have the antibodies in our systems, apparently. We're very vulnerable. And like this friend of mine, she had the sore. So she had been low. Her autoimmune system was obviously not real strong. She had gone through weeks of trying to get past the flu, so she was very vulnerable. When this attacked her, they said the only thing that they have found that's worked is electrical charges to the area. And that just was very interesting. They said there's not an antibiotic that they can use. This is totally immune to any kind of antibiotics. It is a mutated strain, and it keeps improving on itself. Let's face it, bacteria is life. So it's going to do everything it can to adapt to whatever circumstances will enable it to live. We do the same thing, don't we? Yes. Every form of life does the same thing. So one of the things she said is make sure you wash your hands. But this is airborne. So understand something. Be aware, take care of yourself, get your rest, but remember to wash your hands, and carrying baby wipes around or something like that is important. And this is just before I started my show. I had this interaction with this individual. And they said it's really something to be aware of. So I'm sharing it with you because I think that that is important. We've got a caller on the line. Welcome, caller, to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Elaine. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Elaine. And where in New Jersey?
Wayne, New Jersey.
Oh, Wayne, New Jersey. I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, dear. Okay, and the first thing I'm looking at, Elaine, is there's going to be some kind of an invitation that you'll receive for a get-together with a bunch of people, and your first impulse is going to be, oh, gee whiz, I don't know that I want to do this. I don't know that I'm in the mood for it. And some of these people I may not want to be around, and I want to say, look, it is a good thing to be involved with because you're going to be breaking certain patterns that you have with social interactions that basically have kept you back, and it's like you're moving forward, and I want you to move forward because I really feel like you have an opportunity to come in contact with some very nice people through this get-together, whatever it may be for. And I'd like to use the term reunion with this because it is a coming together of people that haven't seen each other for a while. So I would encourage you to go. Also, I think there is an opportunity for you to do some traveling late spring or early summer. This is going to be a very, very good thing for you to do because, again, it's doing something differently that you've not done before, and it is going to put you into a different environment. You're apparently working very hard to expand your world, your life, and to break down and get rid of some senses that you feel have been put in place around you. And I want to compliment you. It takes courage to do that, and I want to say just go for it. You've got everything to gain and nothing to lose. What's on your mind, dear? What did you want to ask me?
Would you be able to connect to me with my mother on the other side?
No, not at the moment I'm not. Was there a specific question you wanted to ask about your mom?
Well, I was wondering if she was around me and if she knows that that I'm still like grieving.
Well, I think that she definitely does, hon. But I think something that you need to be aware of is that she's not going to be with you all of the time. When people pass on, they get about a whole different aspect of life. They get about the business of living in a different way. We have our dimension. There's just really a very slight frequency that separates us from those that are on the other side. But I learned many, many, many years ago that people just do not stop being. They're not floating around on a cloud somewhere flapping angel wings. They are living, they are doing, but they're doing it in a different way, in a different place, a different space. So I'm not picking up on your mom at all, not in the sense of her being present, even at this moment.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a call if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Or 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back right after this.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
This is 765-227 or 888-815-9756. Now, before I go to the next caller who's waiting very patiently, I want to tell you about my upcoming class. For those of you who are listening in the state of Washington, it's called Mental Ecology. Mental Ecology. Beauty, Style, and Greatness from the Inside Out. I am going to be doing a special workshop. I love doing workshops. I really, really do. And this is my first opportunity in a long time. And it's only going to be 4 hours. It's going to be on Saturday, April the 19th. From 10 a.m. until 2 in the afternoon. So it's only going to take part of your day, but, man, it's going to jumpstart you in a wonderful way. Why? Because we're going to be talking about your personal vision, development of intuitive skills, problem solving. I want to clarify, help you clarify your own perspectives, your objectives, and your life purpose as you see it at the moment. Now, this is going to be held, again, Saturday, April the 19th, going to be at the Center for Spiritual Living at 206 North J Street in Tacoma. It's $89 for this class, and that includes a catered lunch. That's right. You're going to eat well. Now, if you would like to book a space in this class, it is limited seating. We don't have a huge space here, so it's just call 253-383-3151. That's 253-383-3151. Now, part of the $89 is going to be going towards the restoration of this historic building. Yes, this building has its 100th birthday this year. So, again, Mental Ecology. If you want, give me a call at my office, 800-872-8852. If you want more information, it's an interactive seminar Saturday, April the 19th, 10 to 2, the Center for Spiritual Living at 206 North J Street in Tacoma. Don't miss it. We are going to have a fabulous, fabulous time. Let's go to our next caller. This is Donna Sebo. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
This is Lyle from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Hi, Lyle.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing wonderfully. We've been having such wonderful weather here. We had snowflakes as big as a 50-cent piece about 45 minutes ago, and now we have beaming sunshine, and it's gone up about 20 degrees. So it's been a very interesting day here.
I tell you, all the seasons at once, huh?
Oh, it's just absolutely amazing. Well, let's get down to business with you. Lyle, the first thing that is coming into my mind is the word discipline. Discipline and diligence. You are finding that your whole concept of thinking and perception of what it is that you need to do and accomplish is expanding. It is not contracting, not by a long shot. It is really expanding. However, the same time that you see it expanding, you are also saying, I cannot carry a lot of what I have carried forth in belief, in working practice, etc. I'm going to have to shave some things away. You're streamlining. I think that's a rather glamorous term, but that's the one I'll use. You are becoming much more clear and much more decisive about many things. And this is going to do you so much good on so many levels. It's amazing. So I just want to say to you, hold course. Be true to who you are. Let go of what is not working. Touch bases with people who are going to be supportive and have good credibility. And you are going to find yourself developing what I would call alliances that are going to be very, very useful to you in the future. And have you ever thought of running for a political office?
A long time ago, but I have put that out of my mind.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think someone's going to make a proposal to you about doing this. And what I would say is, as long as you can maintain your integrity, because you're a person that has very, very strong feelings about integrity, personal integrity, and keeping your word, if you see how you can do this, I think that the positioning in your community will be a significant one. I think you'll be able to make a difference. You're not ready for about 3 years, though.
Yeah, I'm not ready. Yeah.
So there's still a learning curve here, but wouldn't surprise me at all if you end up running for a political office. And I know politicians have horrific, horrific reputations.
Yeah.
So you're going to be one of that, what would be considered the minority population. So you will make a big difference, though. You'll make a big difference. What question do you have for me?
Well, it was more of a comment, and thank you for that. It was more of a comment on which the superbug that you were talking about.
Oh, please.
And it was, I had heard that actually, now you have to find a good one, but it's, what you were talking about was MRSA, I think, and you need oil of oregano will work on it, but you have to find a good oil of oregano.
Interesting. I'll pass that information along to my friend. I just, like I said, it was just before the show.
Yeah, and I know that, but I know another good thing that may help might be like Allicin tablets, which are made up from garlic. But again, you have to do your homework and find a good one. Like I said, I know I've heard, I think I even saw a study that they actually did a study with oil of oregano and the superbug, and it's like the superbug has no defense against that, but the chemicals that we make for antibiotics, they can figure a way around it. So that's all I wanted to leave you with.
Well, Lyle, I thank you very, very much for that information, and it's helpful to my listeners, but also I'll be passing that along to my friend.
Yeah, oh, I know. The one that I use is, let me see, what was the name of it?
Well, you don't need to give me the name of the product. If you want to email that to me.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Why don't you go ahead, Lyle, and just email it to me, and that'll be wonderful.
And which email address should I use?
Just use Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's DelphiInternational.com.
Okay.
All right, Lyle. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Donna Siebel. My goodness, we're out of time. And I do quickly want to say tomorrow I will not be on air live with you because of the women's show, but we will be having a rerun of Dr. Edgar Mitchell, the Apollo 14 astronaut, where we dedicated an hour to the interview with him. So that'll be replayed. Remember always, you're the master of your fate and you're the captain of your soul. And, oh, I want to tell you, on Monday, we're going to be talking with Dr. Daniel Rudolfossi. And he is a wonderful, wonderful physician. He is a man who has dealt with police trauma. And we are going to be talking about post-traumatic stress syndrome. Fascinating interview. A lot of neat people next week. I've got to go, though. Bye for now. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Have a fabulous, fabulous week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.